What we're going to do right now is do what the song suggested. That's to pray. To take it to the Lord. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. But you don't have to. I don't have to bear it. You can't fix it. If you could, you wouldn't need God. So right where you are, your heart is the altar. Take a moment and bow and pray and be still before the Lord and tell him what that situation is. He already knows. You give it to him. Ask him to help you. Ask him to do a miracle. Take a moment. Pray for that family member, that health situation, that financial problem, whatever it might be. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we ask you to have mercy on us and forgive us for talking about our problems more than we talk to you about our problems. Forgive us for thinking that we can fix and we can solve the things that we're going through. And then when we hit a dead end or an impasse, we then look to you. All we like sheep, we just keep going astray. But thank you for new mercies, for all of our messes. Thank you for a grace that super abounds. You are a good, good And as the old Baptist deacon would say, if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't praise you enough. We thank you, Lord God, for knowing what we have need of before we ask. Thank you, Lord, that you care about us. You told us to cast our cares on you because you care for us. Some of us are dealing with the cares of financial stress, physical abnormalities. We're dealing with pain in our relationships. Some of us stand in need of food, housing, transportation, clothing, employment, better employment, healing in our mind, our soul, our body. Lord, we stand in need today. But I'm so glad we're talking to our mind regulator. A heart fixer, a lawyer in any courtroom we may find ourselves in, a doctor in every sick room. That you're the friend who sticks closer than any brother. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. You told us to give it to you and leave it in your hands. Lord, would you now visit your people with peace, knowing that you heard them. I thank you that when we pray in the name of Jesus, not only do you hear us, but you give us the petitions of which we've asked. And Lord, you may not do it the way we want you to do it. You may not do it when we want you to do it. But we have the kind of faith knowing that you will do it in your way for your glory. Now, Lord, I need you to do it through me one more time to preach and teach the word of God to your people. Help all of us to have ears to hear what thus saith the Lord, and give us strength and power through the anointing of the Holy Spirit to live out the things that you require of us. Oh God, it's so good to be in your presence with your people one more time. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, Mike, that old hymn where it talks about there's a sweet spirit in this place. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove. Do you know that one?
And there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. And I know that it's the spirit of our Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know that it's a presence of your sweet. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Come on, give Jesus the praise. Come on, glorify him. Come on, worship him. Praise him. My wife is in Colorado this morning, helping to lead a retreat for up-and-coming writers and authors. And so keep her in your prayers. She comes back late Wednesday night. I just came back yesterday from Rocky Mount, Virginia. Had been invited by the local branch of the NAACP to come and share as that community is putting up their own United States Colored Troops soldier statue beginning in January. So they asked me to come and encourage them and tell some of our story here in Tennessee. To that, I also want to apologize to Xavier and Joy Bledsoe. I wanted to be at their baby shower yesterday. I was not able to make it because of that trip, But where are they? Are they in the house? Hey, y'all. I'm sorry I missed yesterday. You got family here today? Okay. Would the family just stand up? Y'all just stand up. Let us look at y'all. Look at that beautiful family right there. What's up, y'all? Amen. 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 Did y'all get some good gifts? Y'all get some good gifts at the baby shower? Okay, good, good, good. All right. On Wednesdays, man, we are studying the Bible right in this room. And we're in a series called Pour. God pours into us so that we can pour out to others. And we're connecting what's going on Wednesdays with what's happening on Sundays with the anointing. Pour on Wednesday, whatever happened to the anointing on Sundays. Man, y'all don't want to miss this stuff. The best stuff happens in community. So fight the lazy spirit. The flesh is not willing. The flesh is weak. But tell your flesh, I'm going to the house of God to be with the people of God, study the word of God, come out and fellowship with us on Wednesday nights. It's a blessing, this small group interaction time. We all need that, okay? So this Wednesday, 6 o'clock meal, 6:30, Bible study. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 talks about how the days are coming when people will not endure sound doctrine or sound teaching. The days are coming. The days are here where people are looking for teachers who will tickle their itching ears and tell them what they want to hear. They don't want to hear sound doctrine, sound teaching from the Bible. They want to hear fables and stories, and they want to get caught up so much in current events that they miss the word of God and the God of the word. So this morning, I have some doctrine for you. And I think I'm still at Strong Tower Bible Church, right? I'm still at Strong Tower Bible Church. So we got some doctrine this morning. So today, we're going to continue in this series, Whatever Happened to the Anointing. And we're going to deal today with the Anointed One. And I'm going to reveal to you that the Anointed One is Jesus Christ. And sometimes you have to ask today, in this time where people are looking for all kind of stories and anything but sound doctrine, we're not only asking whatever happened to the anointing, but whatever happened to the Anointed One. We're not talking about Jesus, or we're talking about the wrong Jesus. He said before he comes, there are going to be many false Christs. We're spending time talking about the wrong Jesus, or we're dancing around Jesus. We're talking about anything but him. But man, I tell you what, as long as I have breath in my body, I'm going to talk about Jesus. Yeah. Yeshua, I'm going to talk about him. Thank you, God. So Strong Tower, join me. I cannot talk about the anointing without talking about the Anointed One. I'm going to introduce you to a term today called the Anointed One. And I'm going to prove that Jesus is, in fact, that person, that he is the Anointed One. And you may ask, Pastor Chris, why is this so important? Well, if Jesus is not the Anointed One, I must ask you, who is? Who is? As we sang today and we said that the Lord is worthy, he is worthy of our worship, adoration, submission, allegiance. He's worthy of every breath that we breathe. He's worthy. And if you have not made up in your mind that Jesus is worthy of all of that and more, then I want to know, who or what are you worshiping? Who or what are you giving your allegiance to? Who or what are you giving your everything to? Because you will worship something. You will worship somebody. We were created to worship. But the question is, who are we worshiping? I choose to worship the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, through the power of the anointing called the Holy Spirit, my God. He is the Anointed One. And if he is not the Anointed One, who is? You see, who has been appointed and anointed by God to save us from our sins. Jesus was anointed and appointed by God to save us from our sin. So if you worship your BMW, you can change the oil, but that car cannot save you from your sin. You may enjoy fried chicken, that you have to put it in oil in order to fry it, but that chicken cannot save your soul. We're talking about the one who was anointed with oil and appointed to save us from our sin, Jesus. And if you're not looking to him to be your Savior, who are you looking to? Hopefully not yourself. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that if you trust in yourself, you are a fool. How can you trust in yourself when you don't know what's going to happen 2 seconds from now, 2 minutes from now, 2 days from now? Trusting in yourself when you need coffee to get going in the morning, trusting in yourself. You got guys walking around talking about that they're gods in the streets and things like that, and pants hanging down off their behind talking about they are gods. And come on, brothers, get it together now. And then there are people who act like they're God because they got a little bit of money, a little bit of power. And there are people who will worship them rather than worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, in Matthew chapter 11, everybody, verses 2 and 3, John the Baptist had a few words to say that I think we need to look at. It says, and when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? Are you the coming one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Savior of the world? Are you the Christ, or do we look for somebody else? Now, this ought to get your attention, because John the Baptist was anointed and appointed by God to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. From his mother Elizabeth's womb, that calling was on him, to the point that when Mary walked into the house, newly pregnant with Jesus, John leaped in Elizabeth's womb. And so he was the voice crying in the wilderness saying, make way the path of the Lord, the forerunner. But he finds himself in prison because this was not in his plans. You know how we make those strategy boards and things like that. He may have made a strategy board, but when this thing landed him in jail for preaching against Herod, for sleeping with his brother's wife and marrying her, and it cost him to be put in jail, that wasn't on his vision board, his strategy board. And he began to wonder, because my plans don't look like this. I just need to know, are you really the one? Or should we look for somebody else? Now, if John was shaken up like that, don't you be so spiritual as to say you don't get shaken up when things don't go your way. When you begin to question the goodness of God and wonder, is God being good to you? Because you find yourself like John in some kind of circumstantial prison. Prison will shape your theology, or it will break your theology. Homeboy's in prison. He's like, are you the one? Are you the coming one? And Jesus told John's disciples, you go back and tell him that the blind are being given sight, the deaf are being given the ability to hear, the poor have the gospel preached to them. You go back and tell John those things, and blessed is the person that doesn't fall away because of me. Oh my. Well, 2 weeks ago, we learned that the sacred act of anointing a person with oil was a sign that God was setting that person apart. That when you were anointed in the Old Testament, you were being set apart for a divine purpose. And the ones that we see anointed in Scripture primarily were prophets, priests, and kings. Sacred act whereby these people were anointed and set apart for a divine purpose to serve the Lord in these three offices of prophet, priest, and king. Elijah anointed Elisha to become a prophet. Moses anointed Aaron to become the high priest, and Samuel anointed David to become the king of Israel. So prophets, priests, and kings were anointed, set apart for divine purpose to honor God in these three offices. Now, sometimes there was a slight overlap between these offices and the individuals. As I mentioned, David, he was anointed to be king, the second king of Israel following Saul. But sometimes there would be overlap with David, because the Bible lets us know that in Psalm 16, David is just writing this psalm, which we went through at Bible study called Sweet 16, Psalm 16, because it's a practical song and a prophetic psalm as well, because he's able to prophesy hundreds of years before Jesus is even born and comes to earth through Mary's womb. He prophesies, and he says that God would not allow his Holy One to suffer decay or corruption. In other words, when Jesus died, his body did not decay in the tomb because he wasn't in the grave that long, but he would rise again from the grave. So Peter picked up on this on the day of Pentecost and quoted Psalm 16 and said that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. David wasn't talking about himself, because his grave is around the corner. He was talking about one of his descendants who got up from the grave. And so David, as Peter said, spoke like a prophet in that moment. So he was king, but he spoke like a prophet. And then homeboy had the nerve to dance before the Lord wearing a linen ephod, something that was reserved only for the priests. And so David, you know, he had a little overlap, but he was the king of Israel, who functioned like a prophet and momentarily danced in a linen ephod reserved only for priests. However, the Old Testament predicted that there would come a deliverer who would be more than an anointed one. He would be the anointed one, and he would, listen to this, legitimately hold all three offices at the same time. Anybody want to worship Jesus and honor Jesus and bow down before Jesus, get up and serve Jesus? This ain't no overlap because David is just trying to do his thing because his heart is like that. No, Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. Let me rewind it. He is the prophet, the priest, and the king because he is the anointed one. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. I'm so excited about this. Breaking down the words here, the Old Testament Hebrew word Mashiach is translated into English as Messiah. Old Testament word Mashiach is translated into English as Messiah, and it means anointed one. So when you see Messiah, think anointing. When you see Messiah, think the anointed one. And then the New Testament Greek equivalent to Mashiach is the word Christos. Christos, which is translated into English as Christ. The word Christ means anointed one. So Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the anointed one. And we are Christians, followers of Christ, which means we are also anointed as well. 1 John chapter 2, we all have the anointing, the Holy Spirit of God. Because if we don't have the Spirit, we don't belong to Christ. But since we do belong to Christ, we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, resting on us as Christians, those who have been anointed like Jesus was anointed. Oh my, oh my. But look at those words. They're very pregnant for us today in understanding how the Jewish people look forward to this anointed one to come, this Messiah, this deliverer, this Christ to come. And when we talk about Jesus Christ, let me help somebody out, because somebody think that Christ is Jesus' last name. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is a title, declaring or describing who Jesus is. He is Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One. And according to all four gospel accounts, Jesus was publicly anointed by God with the Holy Spirit at his baptism. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. So at Jesus' baptism, which really inaugurated his earthly ministry, which would last a little over 3 years, it was a coming out party, if you will, to let people know that his ministry was about to begin. And not only that, he was and is the one who was anointed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit took bodily form, as the scripture says, in the form of a dove, came down and rested on him as a sign, as a symbol to everyone who was watching, especially for John the Baptizer, who said, I would not have known it until I baptized him that he was the Messiah, because he was right there, front row seat, seeing all of this happen. Then the Father speaks from heaven saying, this is my beloved son. So all of this is going on to show that he is the anointed one. Now, he didn't become anointed at that baptism. He's always been anointed. But that was a public display to let everybody know that he was and is the anointed one. And for people who strangely do not believe in the triunitas of God, we know that God is one. Yet he is plural in his person, eternally existing as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And just because we can't figure it out totally doesn't mean that it's not true. There are people who say, because I can't figure it out, then I don't believe the Trinity. My goodness, you want a God you can figure everything out about? Man, there are many mysteries about God. He's vast. He's transcendent, man. He's the Most High. Come on now. We know about him what he reveals to us through his word to know about him. That's why when we go to heaven, eternal life is the knowledge of God. Throughout all eternity, we're going to learn about God, learn about God, learn about God. But some of us here think we know everything about God. And if I don't understand the Trinity, I don't believe it. But you help me unpack this, because there are people who say that Jesus is the Father, Jesus the Spirit, Jesus, and get baptized in Jesus' name. Don't get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because there's no such thing as a Trinity. I need somebody to talk to me like I'm in the third grade. How are you going to have Jesus getting baptized, the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove, and the Father talking from heaven saying, this is my son? How can Jesus do all of that and still be the same person? Y'all tripping on that stuff. I dropped that in for free for those who watch online. But let me get back to my point. Here it is. As the anointed one, Jesus was and is the prophet, the priest, and the king. I'm going to do my best to make this doctrine applicable to us, so that we're just not getting information, but it's going to lead to application. Let me hear the church say application. Because we could talk about all this stuff, this theology, and we're breaking it down as simply as we can. But if we don't do anything because of it, we're wasting our time. Because information that is gained but not applied leads to constipation. No, don't get that yet. You know what constipation is, when you're all backed up. And a lot of us got information overload. We're backed up with knowledge, but we're not showing the knowledge. What good is knowing the word and you're not showing the word? There's a reason that God is revealing these things to us about Jesus, because it ought to impact how we live. So the first thing, let's see this strong tower. Jesus was and is the prophet. Well, what do prophets do? The prophets spoke the words of God on behalf of God. Prophets spoke the words of God on behalf of God. They told it like it was in the present, and they told it like it was going to be in the future. They told it like a T.I. is. Y'all know how we say that. I'm gonna tell it to you like a T.I. That was a prophet. I'm gonna stand in front of you, and I'm gonna boldly declare what thus saith the Lord, whether you like it or you don't like it. If you or your mama got a problem with it, I'm still declaring what thus saith the Lord. That's a prophet. Gonna stand 10 toes down and speak thus saith the Lord, knowing it might cost them, knowing they might get stoned, knowing they might get arrested, knowing they might get decapitated, but they're standing on business for God. Then they're going to tell it like it is in the future as well. And when they speak it, and the Bible says the way you knew a prophet was true and came from God was that it came to pass. If they speak something and it doesn't come to pass, and they say, wait a minute, maybe you didn't hear the prophecy right. I said next Wednesday, not this Wednesday. No, you false, dog, you false. You false. Deuteronomy 18, 15 and verse 17 and 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet. New King James capitalizes prophet. Like me, Moses said, from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. So there's going to be this Jewish prophet coming. Verse 17, and the Lord spoke to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. So Jesus is that prophet that Moses was talking about. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. For Moses truly said to the fathers, this is Peter preaching, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet, capital P, like me, like Moses, from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. So Peter again is quoting from the Old Testament. Are you the kind of believer that can quote the Bible? Are you the kind of believer that has studied so well that you don't even need your Bible in front of you to quote where something comes from? If not, we all have reasons to continue to study and to strive because we want to be equipped and be ready to have an answer for why we believe what we believe. We want to be ready in season and out of season. And when Peter got up and preached, he's quoting from Psalm 16. He's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 18. And I pray to God, we know a little bit more than Philippians 4:13. I pray to God, we know a little bit more than John 3:16. That's good now. You use what you have, but don't you be content to stay there. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. God, who at various times and in various ways. King James readers, that word there, various, was sundry. Y'all remember that? In sundry ways. Sundry. We don't go around talking like that. I need some new King James. In various times and in various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. You see that? Has in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So all the other prophets, they were good. They were necessary. But in these last days, the prophet is God's son, Jesus Christ. So he stands in a place of preeminence above and over any other prophet. He is the prophet. Secondly, strong tower, Jesus was and is the priest. The priest, well, what did priests do? The priest served as a mediator between God and the people. A mediator, someone who stands between the two. And the two are at odds. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, we inherited from him this nature, this disposition, this penalty called sin, putting us at odds or even at war against God. And so someone had to come to mediate, to bring the two together, to reconcile the two, God and man. And only one person qualifies to do that. Someone who's God enough, perfect enough, able to put his hand on God, but human enough, sinless enough to put his hands on people. And the book of Job talks about that's the prophecy of Jesus Christ, that he can put his hand on God because he was God. He could put his hand on people because he was a person. And so you need a mediator. But until Jesus came, there were these cats in the Old Testament called the priests and the high priest who served as the mediator between God and the people. What the priests would do is they would represent God to the people and they would represent the people back to God. And the only way they could do this was through blood, through blood. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, the tent where the Ark of the Covenant rested, where the presence of the Lord was with his people. And he went in there once a year behind the veil to sprinkle blood on the mercy seat or the lid of the Ark of the Covenant to atone or to cover the sins of the nation of Israel. So he would go in and sprinkle blood and they would be atoned of their sin. And again, this was all a setup until Jesus would come. But before the high priest could go up in there, he had to make atonement for himself first with blood to cover his own sins before he went and tried to make atonement for the sins of the people. Because the high priest, we know Aaron was a mess. We know Aaron was a mess. He needed blood and forgiveness for his sins. And so that's what the priests would do. They would make atonement. They would be a mediator. Now, the Bible lets us know in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, in all things, he, speaking of Jesus, had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. Is anybody glad that Jesus is merciful? That he don't give you what your sins deserve. He don't expose you when you trip in. He's faithful. That means he's always there. He's consistent. He's the same. He does not change. And the Bible goes on to say, let me read it. Let me get back so I can shout later. He's a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Propitiation means a sacrifice that satisfies God's righteous indignation towards sin. Jesus is the only one that can satisfy God's holy, righteous indignation towards sin. Because God is holy. That means he is pure. He is light. There is no darkness within him. He is holy. And not only is he holy, he is just. That means he must punish evil. He must punish sin. Because if he let sin slide without a punishment, he would not be just. But married to his holiness and his justice is his love and his mercy. I'm so glad he's not all holiness and all justice. Thank God that he's also merciful and loving because he made a way to satisfy his own holiness by his son dying in the place of unholy people. So when Jesus died on the cross, it was his blood that satisfied the Father where the Father could say, I accept that sacrifice. Now, the blood of lambs and things like that, they could not take away sin, but they could just cover or atone sin until the ultimate sacrifice would come, Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So God says, I'm going to allow y'all to give me this because I know what's coming in the future. You're going to put this on layaway right here because I know the one who's coming, who's going to be laid away for 3 days, going to get up and take that mess away. He's going to take it away. And so he's the one, the mediator. The high priest who didn't have to make a sacrifice for himself first as if he sinned because he knew no sin. So this is why he is the high priest and the only one qualified and capable to satisfy God's wrath towards sin. My God, I got to worship him. I got to love him. I got to live for him. And then the Bible says in Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16, sing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Forget that little tent in the Ark of the Covenant there. He's passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. This is not the time to give up on the Lord. Hold fast to the one who's holding on to you. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. This is a double negative to uplift a great positive. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, which means we do have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So when I'm going through, I can't act like God doesn't understand what I'm going through because he does know what you're going through because he's been tempted with the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In all points, yet he did not sin. So when I'm going through, I don't have to give in to it anymore. I can say, Lord, would you give me the strength through the power of your anointing to stand up against these temptations? Lord, may I do what you did. May I obey the way you did. And when I trip and fall because the stuff I want to do, I don't always do. And the stuff I don't want to do, that's what I do. Who's going to help me get delivered from the body of this death? I'm going back and forth and forth and back. Paul said, but thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. He's my deliverer, not just the one to save my soul, but to save my situation. Ain't nobody like Jesus, man. He's my high priest. Then the Bible says, let us therefore, because you got a high priest like that, let us therefore come boldly to the pastor. Let us boldly come and talk to the... No, let us boldly come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, God. He tells me, I've been there. And then he holds his nail-scarred hands. I've been there. I know what you're going through. I've been there. You're not by yourself. I'm with you. I won't leave you. Your struggle is real. I struggled in the garden, man. I sweat drops of blood. I know what struggling is like. I know what feeling alone is like, but you're not alone. I'm with you just like my father was with me. What a high priest. Oh, my God. Number three, Jesus was and is the king. What did kings do? The kings ruled over their people in their land. Basically, that's what kings did. Well, nationally speaking, Jesus was and is the king of the Jews. Matthew chapter 21, verse 4 and 5. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, where the people are going to say, Hosanna, meaning save, save us now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosea, Jesus, save us. And as he's coming in, they got the palm branches and they're waving them. They're laying their coats down. And the Bible says that this was a fulfillment of the prophecy from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. When the prophet spoke that Israel's king would come into Jerusalem humble, not arrogant, not proud, not riding on a war horse, but riding on a donkey, the foal of a donkey, because he came the first time to bring salvation. He came the first time to bring peace and deliverance from our sins, to come and sacrifice himself as the Lamb of God. But a lot of Jewish people missed Jesus because they were looking for a political deliverance as opposed to a spiritual deliverance. They didn't want their Messiah, their Christ, riding on a donkey. They wanted him riding on a war horse and expelling the Roman people from out of Judea. And because Jesus didn't come the way they wanted him to come, he came to his own, but his own did not receive him. They didn't receive Jesus by and large as a people. And there are people today who are missing Jesus because of politics. They're missing Jesus because they have an expectation of him nationally. Matthew 27, verse 11. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus said to him, it is as you say. So nationally speaking, yes, the king of the Jews, the rightful descendant from David, the descendant from the line of Judah to be the lion of Judah. He has a rightful place to the throne of David, where God told David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 that one of your descendants would sit on the throne forever. That's not talking about Solomon. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Oh my, he's the king nationally, but he's also the king eternally speaking. Jesus was and is the king of kings. Revelation chapter 19 verse 16, it talks about, I saw heaven open and he was sitting on a white horse and many crowns were upon his head. And the Bible says in verse 16, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As I mentioned, many of the Jews missed him because Jesus didn't fit into their frame of what they thought the Messiah should be. And today we have people missing Jesus because of politics and they don't see the eternal kingship of Jesus. They're focusing so much on the national kingship of someone who's not even Jesus. They want to give it to presidents. You do know that when the Jews chose Barabbas, one of the ancient texts says that he had a surname. It was Jesus Barabbas. So if you dig into certain texts for the New Testament, it says that Jesus Barabbas was his name. So the people chose Jesus Barabbas over Jesus the Christ. And today we still have people choosing the wrong Jesus rather than Jesus the Christ. But let me wrap this up. I conclude this message by asking three questions, y'all. Is your prophet Jesus? Is your prophet Jesus? If he is, don't you dare listen to people who will prophesy and say things to you that are wrong. How in the world did so many people think that the rapture was going to happen last Tuesday? Tabitha, you got to help me with that. The Bible says don't call anybody a fool. I'm trying not to call these people a fool. They sitting out there waiting. You had some people who sold their land and houses and stuff. And I'm like, where did this lie get started? What false prophet started this by saying that he was going to come back last week? If you read your Bible, if you know the word from the prophet Jesus himself, he will tell you that no man knows the day or the hour when the Lord will return. So whatever day they pick, that ain't it. But why do we put our faith in false prophets and false prophecies? I just need to know, is he your prophet? And is Jesus your priest? If he is, don't you dare think you have to represent yourself to God. Stop living under condemnation and guilt when you do something wrong. We all do things wrong. We fail every day. We are imperfect. Even though we're striving to aim for the things that God has for us, we still fall short. And because of that guilt, many of us think we got to represent ourselves to God. No, you don't have to represent yourself to God. Jesus is your representative to God. And he has imputed his righteousness to you. So whether you feel righteous or not, when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So stop trying to represent yourself and say, Lord, I thank you for Jesus, who is my mediator. I thank you for Jesus who clothed me with his righteousness. Now, Lord, help me to live up to what I've attained in Christ. And God knows our frame. He knows that we're dust, but that's no excuse to be dustier than we need to be. But he knows. Don't you dare trust someone else's blood or your own works to justify you. I'm hearing more people talk about Charlie Kirk being a martyr, and Charlie Kirk, he died for us. Like, what? When you make idols, before you even get to Charlie, back it up. Before you even get to Trump, back it up. Before you even get to Nathan Bedford Forrest and these idols that many white folk make out of white folk, it's because the idol that you made out of Jesus is insufficient. Your Jesus ain't real. You made up a Jesus who's American, who's European, who's white, who's limited, whose nationality focuses on America, who puts down other people and lifts up certain people. You made that Jesus up. And because it's a false Jesus, you're not content with him or in him, so you have to create other white idols along the way. So you're worshiping Charlie as a martyr because you don't appreciate the true one who shed his blood on the cross for you. You don't really know him nor acknowledge him, so you got to keep raising up all these other idols. It's the spirit of white supremacy. And it's wrong. Oh, man, who's your priest? And then finally, who's your king? If he is, don't you dare ruin your life and make a mockery of your faith by desiring an earthly king in this country. Don't do it. America doesn't need a king. It needs a president to serve all Americans with decency and equality. We are a democratic republic. We are not a monarchy. And Jesus is our king. I just need to know that now. Who's your king? Only Jesus qualifies to be the Messiah, the Christ. And from scripture, we just saw how Jesus was and is the anointed one because he is the prophet, the priest, and the king. Amen. Well, before we move these chairs, brothers, don't run. More cats we have helping with the chairs, the sooner you can get to your game and watch it. And we're going to be praying for the Titans anyway down the hall in room 104. They need a win. But growing up, man, I used to watch wrestling. Used to watch wrestling. WWF, NWA would come on. And man, I like the Junkyard Dog. I like the Road Warriors. I like Sting. But Ric Flair was the man. I don't know if I got a witness. Ric Flair was the man. He didn't look like a physical specimen at all, but he had technique. And when he put that figure four leg lock on Jokers, they'd be screaming and all that stuff. Ric Flair. And sometimes the best part of Saturday wrestling was the interview section. Because they'd get up there with Mean Gene or whatever that dude's name was, and they'd be talking. And Ric Flair, he had this long rhyme about how he was a limousine riding and all this kind of stuff. Some of y'all probably know it. He would say all this stuff, and he'd be having a fur coat on and everything and sunglasses. I'm a limousine riding and all this stuff. But he did have one thing that he said that I do remember that. He would say, if you're going to be the man, you got to beat the man. Anybody remember Ric Flair? If you're gonna be the man, you gotta beat the man. Well, Rick, I want to tell you about another man. This man came to earth through 42 generations born of the Virgin Mary. Lived a perfect life for 33 years, but God decided to allow this man, capital M, his son, to suffer. And God allowed this man to be beaten and to be wounded for our transgressions. They beat this man. God allowed them to beat this man with a cat of nine tails. They beat this man. They beat this man with their fists and they slapped him and they spit in his face. They beat this man. They beat this man until blood and water came gushing out of his side. They beat this man. They beat this man until he was unrecognizable, the Bible says. They beat him to a bloody pulp. They beat this man, but they couldn't beat this man. Oh, they beat this man, but they couldn't beat this man. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says, but this man, oh Lord, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever and sat down at the right hand of God. You don't sit down till your work's through. This man offered himself one time to save us eternally from our sins. And I want to know who the man, who's the man, who's the man, who's the man, what's his name? His name is Jesus. Who's the man? He's the prophet. He's the priest. He's the king. He is the anointed one. And he's worthy of all of our worship. He's worthy of all of our adoration and obedience and allegiance. He's worthy. He's the man. Would you stand on your feet with me? And I got to know in a room this size and people watching online, there may be somebody here that don't know the man. Today is a good day to meet him. He stands with his arms outstretched for you, just like on Calvary's cross. He wants to cover you with his love, his grace. He wants his blood to wash you of your guilt, your sin, your shame. He wants to let you know you can't work for your salvation because you have fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus did the work, but will you trust him? Will you trust him? He came to save his people from their sins. And if you've never trusted Jesus to be saved from your sins, now is the time. Believers, let's pray. Oh God, thank you for the good news of Jesus Christ, that our God wrapped himself in human flesh to come to earth to save sinners from the penalty of sin, which is separation from you for all eternity. Thank you that Jesus brought us back together. He redeemed us through his blood. And thank you after Jesus died for sinners and the junk we do, the junk we say, the junk we think, he got up from the grave on the third day. And your word tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. My brother, my sister, is that whosoever you today? If it's you today, you do not have to be afraid or ashamed, but be thankful that God showed you the love of Jesus today. And now it's your time, it's your turn to embrace Jesus Christ by faith. If that's you, ask God, Lord, would you save me? Jesus, would you save me? Jesus, would you deliver me? I believe that you died on the cross because you loved me. And you rose from the grave for me. I trust you. Jesus, be my Savior. With Christians praying for you right now because we've been where you are. Oh, Lord. If today is your day that you prayed that prayer with me, today, Jesus, I want you. Jesus, save me. Can I just see your hand? If that's you, can I just see your hand? I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else that today, angels are rejoicing right now. I see that hand up there. Hallelujah. Come on now. Angels are rejoicing. Anybody else today said, I trust him. I want him. Thank you, Jesus. I can't save myself. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. It's a party, y'all. It's a party, y'all. Oh, God, thank you that we could share your good news one more time. And thank you that these two people, and probably more, made a decision today. That today they're saying, I am born all over again. I'm a new person now. Jesus is my Lord, and the Spirit of God lives in my heart. For those of you who were around the persons who raised their hand, make sure you give them a big hug and encourage them in the Lord. Now, Lord, as we leave this place, but never from your presence, we just say thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus, the anointed one. Thank you, Lord, for what your word says in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. And he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. I thank you, Lord, that that anointing is still strong upon you because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Lord, would you heal people in this body who are being oppressed by the devil? Would you heal people in this body who need to know of your goodness and your power and your love? We worship you, O God. We lift you up because you are worthy of all of our praise. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or imagine, and it's according to the power that is working within us, to him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. And all of God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give him some glory.